homunculus, I gladly take you to old Nereus. His cave is just ahead in front of us, but he's a proper misery, as sour and grumpy as can be. There's nothing that all humankind can do that's right to that old grouch's mind. But since he has the gift to tell the future, he's respected, too. He's done some people good. You would do well to show him deference. He might help you.
No harm in calling on him anyway. My glass and flame are safe, I'm sure.
Do I hear human voices at my door? That's put me in a bad mood right away. These creatures strive to be like gods, but they are doomed to be themselves forevermore. I lived at godlike ease for many years, but I could help great men, so I believed, to do great things. And what have they achieved? It's clear my words have fallen on deaf ears.
But still, they trust you, old man of the sea. You are so wise. Please don't turn us away. This flame looks human, it is true, but he needs your advice. He'll do just what you say.
Advice? What human being ever heard advice? They never listen to a word. Whatever dreadful fate might lie in store, they're still as willful as they were before.
This young lad seeks your counsel and assistance to find the best way to a real existence.
Don't try to spoil this rare good mood for me. I've other things to think about today. My daughters are all due to come this way. They are the Dorids, graces of the sea. Upon Olympus Heights, upon your earth, such dainty beauty never came to birth. From the sea dragon's scaly backs they leap to Neptune's horses with such graceful motion, so tenderly united with the ocean they seem to ride the foam across the deep. On Aphrodite's opalescent shell they carry fairest Galatea, for since Venus went from us, she came to dwell in Paphos as the goddess we adore. And so the lovely nymph claims as her own the sacred temple and the scallop throne. Away! No hateful words or thoughts should sour a father's joy at such a magic hour. Ask Proteus. That mystery man will know how to be born and be transformed. Now go!
We've made no progress. Even if we find old Proteus, he simply melts away. Still, that sort of advice is what you need. Let's try this way. Who knows where it might lead? Where are you, Proteus?
Here?
And there!
Up to your tricks again, old friend, I see. But I don't mind you can't bamboozle me. I know that you can speak from anywhere.
Goodbye!
He's very close. Now shine your light. He's curious as a fish. If he comes near a flame, he can't resist the sight. Whatever shape he's in, he will appear.
I'll start to shine, but modestly. I fear my glass will shatter if it gets too bright.
What's that with such a lovely glow?
Well, come and see it. Turtle, if you want to know. And if you take the trouble to appear on 2 feet in a human shape, then we will willingly consent to let you see just what it is that we have hidden here.
I see you can still play a trick or two.
And changing shape. That still appeals to you. See? Yeah.
A luminescent dwarf? Now what on earth?
He wants you to advise him, if you can. It's most peculiar. He says his birth was incomplete. He's only half a man. He has a mind of great lucidity, but lacks the physical solidity. He has this glass instead of flesh and bone, but now he wants a body of his own. There's something else that's not quite right. I think he's a hermaphrodite.
That means he'll have a better chance. He can adapt to any circumstance. The answer's obvious, it seems to me. You'll have to start your new life in the sea.
Aha.
At first you live with smaller fry, which you devour. And by you grow and grow. And then with due persistence, you reach a higher level of existence.
I like this gentle breeze. It has a smell so fresh and green. It suits me very well.
I can believe it, dearest boy. And further out, there's far more to enjoy. Upon that spit of sand, the atmosphere is infinitely pleasanter than here. Here comes the great marine procession. From there, we'll have a closer view. Come on with me. On land, there's nothing but commotion. There's only strife and misery. But life can flourish in the ocean. You would do best to come with me.
And just let old Proteus be your guide, and all will turn out happily. Up on the dolphin's back you'll ride towards your marriage with the sea.
Give way to laudable temptation. Start at the source of all creation. Be swift to follow nature's plan, progressing through a myriad forms according to eternal norms. In time, you could become a man.
Now let your spirit merge with me into the vast and liquid sea and roam at will. But as you do, don't strive to reach a higher state. Once you become a man, your fate is sealed, and that's the end of you.
In water, all things have their source. By water, all things are sustained. The ocean eternally governs their course. Without the clouds it sends us, the gushing springs it lends us, the flowing streams converging to mighty rivers merging, the plains and the mountains the earth could not be. The freshness of life is sustained by the sea.
The freshness of life has its source in the sea.
Off they wheel and turn again. The eye no longer sees them plain. In widening circles gliding, in winding columns riding, the festive company sweeps along. But now, and now again, I see the scallop shell of Galatea. It shines like a star among the throng. My beloved daughter shines for me. And though so far, glistens bright and clear, forever true, forever near. What new revelation amidst the commotion appears to our eyes from afar on the ocean? Around Galatea's shell chariot, what's burning? Now tenderly glowing, now blazing with yearning, as if driven on by the pulse of desire.
It's homunculus. Proteus has kindled his fire. I sense the imperious longing that cries in this anguish of passion, these groans and these sighs. His glass will be smashed on the glittering shell. A torrent of flame pours out into the swell. What fiery wonder transfigures the waves and sets all the crests of the breakers ablaze? It flickers and flashes and bathes in its light the bodies that glow as they ride through the night. And all is aflame in a vast conflagration. All hail then to Eros, the Lord of creation.
All hail then to Eros, the Lord of creation.
So much admired, so much reviled, I, Helen, come from that same strand where only now we stepped ashore, still swaying with the unsteady rocking of the waves that bore us on their swelling crests from Phrygia's plain, by Euros' strength and by Poseidon's grace, at last to safety in the shelter of our native bays. Down there, King Menelaus and his bravest men, rejoicing, celebrate the warrior's safe return. But I would crave a welcome from this noble house, Tyndareus, my father built among the hills. No house in Sparta was so splendidly adorned. My greetings to you, double doors of massive bronze. One day these hospitable gates flung open wide, received a suitor chosen from so many men, when glorious Menelaus claimed me as his bride. Now open once again, that as a loyal wife I may fulfill the urgent orders of the king. Let me come in, and let me leave behind the storms of fate that hitherto have raged about my head.
Oh, splendid woman! Do not disdain the highest gift that honor bestows, for the greatest fortune is granted to you, the fame of beauty surpassing all else.
Enough, my women. I sailed together with my husband here, and to his city now he set me on ahead. But what he may intend for me, I cannot say. Do I come as a wife? Do I come as a queen? Or as a sacrifice for all his bitter hurt and for the long-endured misfortunes of the Greeks? When we were in the hollow ship, my husband looked at me but rarely, and he spoke no word of cheer. As if he brooded mischief, there he sat in thought. But when we sailed into Eurotas' deep-cleft bays, the leading vessel's prows had scarcely kissed the shore. It was as if a god had prompted him to speak. My warriors shall disembark in order here. I will review their ranks drawn up along the shore. But you shall go ahead, and entering the lofty-towered royal house, assemble all the serving maids I left behind, together with the wise and aged stewardess. When you have made a count and ordered everything, then take such instruments you think will be required for sacrifice, and further hold in readiness the driest wood that quickly feeds the hungry flames. Above all, do not fail to take a keen-edged knife. What else may be required, I leave to your good care. These words he spoke, and pressed me to depart. But still his careful plans made mention of no living thing for sacrifice to honour the Olympian gods. This troubles me, but I will put it from my thoughts, and let the gods on high dispose these things as they are minded to accomplish them. Then come what may, whatever lies in store, I must go up without delay into the royal house.
Sisters who suffered in dismal captivity, cast aside all your troubles. Share the queen's happiness, share Helen's happiness, who to her father's house and hearth has returned. With belated but all the more sure,
sisters, leave the joyous path of song and turn your eyes towards the portals of the house. What is this that I see? Does not the queen return distraught, with agitation in her hasty steps? It is our honour to support you, noble queen. Reveal to your devoted servants what you saw.
Oh, Panthalus, as, mindful of my duty and with solemn tread, I stepped into the courtyard of the royal house, I wondered at the silence of the empty halls. No sound of swift and busy footsteps reached my ears, nor did I see the household hurrying to their tasks. No maid, no stewardess appeared to offer me the friendly greetings every stranger used to hear. But then, as I approached more closely to the hearth, the cooling embers cast their dying glow upon a woman, tall and veiled, who sat beside the fire, not sleeping, so it seemed, but musing deep in thought. I ordered her to be about her household tasks, assuming her to be the stewardess who had been left in charge before my husband went away. But still the shrouded figure sat there motionless. At last, in answer to my threats, she raised her arm as if she would dismiss me from my hearth and home. Now, there she is. She ventures out into the light. But we rule here until our royal master comes.
The beauty-loving Phoebus drives the horrid spawn of night back to their caves. They must submit to him.
Which one are you of Phorcus's daughters?
For I can see you are one of these creatures.
Are you perhaps a sibling of the Greyborn sisters, who share in turn one sole eye and one sole tooth? Are you one of the Grey Eye?
Monster! How dare you stand before beauty?
An ancient saying, but it holds a lasting truth, that modesty and beauty never have been known to walk the earth's green path together, hand in hand. For deep within them both, an ancient hatred dwells, and should they ever meet along the way, the one will always turn its back upon its enemy. Who are you, then? To storm about the royal house like frenzied maenads, as if you were flown with wine? Who are you that you rail against the stewardess, like dogs that vent their fury howling at the moon? You think I do not know the race from which you sprang, you war-begotten, battle-nurtured, youthful brood? Man-hungry, all of you, seducing and seduced, enfeebling warriors and citizens alike. To see you flock together is to see a swarm of locusts settle on a field of tender crops. You parasites who feed from others' toil, you browse the growing shoots, destroy the land's prosperity. You spoils of war, you peddled wares, you bartered goods.
To scold the servants in the presence of the queen is to impugn the mistress's authority. Hers is the right alone to praise what merits praise, and hers to punish what is reprehensible. But I am well content with all the services they rendered to me when the might of Ilium was under siege and when the city fell. So hold your tongue and cease your sneers and mockery. If in the absence of the mistress you have kept the royal house in proper order, praise is due. But now she has returned, and you must stand aside, or else expect reproof instead of well-earned thanks.
Now, before us, in your greatness, in your beauty, now you stand. Regally, your eye compels us. Tell us, what is your command?
Hurry, as the king has ordered, to prepare the sacrifice.
All is ready in the palace. Bowl and tripod, sharpened blade, water, incense. You must tell us what the offering shall be.
But the king gave no instructions.
He did not? Oh, misery.
What is this dismay that grips you?
Queen, that offering is you.
I?
And these.
And us? Oh, pity!
You shall fall beneath the axe.
Horror! But not unexpected.
There is no escape, I fear.
What of us?
What is to happen?
She will die a noble death. You will dangle from the rafters that support the gabled roof, strung up in a row like thrushes twitching in the hunter's snare. You spectres, petrified like statues, there you stand, afraid to leave a life on which you have no claim.
The queen stands to one side, alone and deep in thought. The women wilt like meadow grass when freshly mown. My sacred duty as the oldest is, it seems, to seek a word with you, most ancient of us all. Panthalis is my name. Experienced and wise, you seem to wish us well, although these foolish creatures have misjudged your worth. So tell us, if you know, how we might yet be saved.
That is quite simple. It is for the queen alone to save herself and you, her underlings, as well. But firm resolve and swiftest action is required.
It is not fear I feel like these, but rather pain. Yet if you can protect us, you shall have our thanks.
The pirate Menelaus sailed from bay to bay and pillaged every shore and island that he found, returning with the booty that now fills his house. For 10 long years he sat before the walls of Troy. How long it took him to return, I do not know. But how do matters stand now in Tyndaris' exalted house, and in his kingdom all around? To these mountain valleys came a hardy race from deep Cimmerian night to occupy the land. A fortress lofty and impregnable was raised, from which they plague the land and people as they please.
How could they do all this? It seems impossible.
But they had nearly 20 years. That's time enough.
Are they a band of robbers? Are they leaderless?
They are not robbers. One man leads them as their lord.
And his appearance?
Fine enough. I like him well. The man's nobility commands respect and trust. And then his fortress. You should see it for yourself. That is quite different from the clumsy masonry your forebears piled up anyhow, without a thought. Seen from outside, it soars and reaches to the sky, so true and well-aligned and smooth as polished steel. To climb those walls, why, even thought can find no hold. Inside are many spacious courtyards, all enclosed and built around, in every kind of form and style. You can see pillars, vaults and arches, balconies and galleries from which to see or to be seen. It is for you to give your solemn word. Say yes. I will at once surround you with those walls.
Oh, speak that simple word and save yourself. Save all of us.
What? Should I fear that Menelaus, that the king should act so cruelly and seek to do me harm?
Beauty is indivisible. Who once possessed it whole destroys it rather than be cursed to share. The strident trumpet's blast can rend the ears and grip the bowels. So the claws of jealousy can grasp and tear the heart of one who never can forget what once he had and now has lost and has no more.
Can you hear the trumpets blaring?
Can you see the glint of arms?
You are welcome, king and master.
I have reflected on the course I dare to take. You are a hostile demon. That I feel quite plain. And fear you may turn good to evil ends. For now, however, to that fortress I will follow you. Old woman, lead the way.
Oh, what glad, swift-footed steps! Hurry us onwards!
Death at our back! There in front of us rises a fortress with impregnable walls.
May they protect us as well as did the ramparts of Troy, which succumbed at last to contemptible guile alone.
Ah! Oh. What is this? Sisters, look around!
Was it not glorious day? Mist is rising, drifting in bands from Eurota's sacred stream. Now our eyes can see no further than the walls that rise around us.
What is this? A moat? A courtyard? Either one would make me shudder.
Sisters, we are imprisoned, more than ever captives now.
No courteous greeting, as would be more fitting. No ceremonious welcome do I bring. Instead, I offer you this fettered slave, Lynceus, who failed his duty, robbing me of mine. Before this noble lady, kneel and make a full confession of your guilt to her. This man, exalted queen, is set to watch upon the highest tower. From there, to search with eyes of rare and penetrating sight the vault of heaven and the widespread earth, and see whatever stirs from far and near. Today, what carelessness! He failed to signal your approach, and so an honourable welcome was denied our noble guest. Such frivolous neglect demands his death. Already he should lie in his own blood. But, lady, you alone shall punish or show mercy, as you please.
Since you have granted me such privilege as judge and ruler, though I may suspect that it is meant to try me, I will do a judge's foremost duty, and will hear what the accused might have to say. So speak.
Let me kneel and let me gaze. Let me die or let me live. All my heart and soul I give to this God-sent lady's praise. Watching for the sun at morning, to the east I turned my eyes. Suddenly, a wondrous dawning. In the south I saw it rise. All around me shapes were shifting. Towers and ramparts disappeared. But the swirling mists were lifting as this lovely goddess neared. On her gentle radiance gazing, heart and eyes were filled with light. but such beauty, brightly blazing, dazzled, robbed me of my sight. I forgot my watchman's duty, failed to sound the horn's alarm. Death may threaten me, but beauty tames all rage and shields from harm.
I cannot punish wrong that I myself have brought. Alas, what iron destiny pursues me everywhere, so to bewitch the hearts of men that they will sacrifice themselves and any worthy cause. Seduced, abducted, fought for, carried here and there by demigods and heroes, gods and spirits who led me in distraction to and fro. One Helen brought confusion to the world, and two still more. Now three and fourfold is the grief I bring. Let this good man go free. No shame shall come to those the gods delude.
Oh, Queen, I marvel how unerringly you aimed the shaft that pierced your victim's heart. The arrow has returned to wound the one who loosed it from his bow. Now thick and fast your arrows strike me. In a feathered swarm they fill my castles, passages and halls. What am I now? For all at once you turn my vassals into rebels, and my walls cannot protect me. My most trusted men obey this conquering, unconquered queen. What can I do but offer up myself and all that I had thought was mine to you? Now let me kneel and freely pledge myself to you as queen. No sooner were you here than all my kingdom and my throne were yours.
I feel so far away, and yet so near. And all I wish to say is, I am here.
I scarcely seem to breathe. No words, I find. It is a dream. The world is left behind.
My life seemed done, and yet I feel so new. Now, stranger, we are one. I live for you.
Do not ask how or why a fate, but seek to live for now. This moment is unique. A band of heroes, none are braver, you'll see assembled row on row. No man deserves a woman's favor who cannot shield her from the foe.
With calm resolve, unleash your furious rage, and victory is yours. You bloom of northern youth, you glorious flower of our eastern shores. With walls and ramparts, German legions, the bays of Corinth fortify, and in Achaia's rugged regions, the Goths all comers shall defy. Then each shall found his habitation, by force of arms protect his own. In Sparta, chief of every nation, your queen shall claim her ancient throne. This shining land pours out its blessing for evermore on every race, where now my queen rules, repossessing the land that first looked on her face. No castle walls, no fortress shall surround us, for we shall dwell where bliss is unconfined. Eternal youth still burgeons all around us. In Sparta, here, Arcadia we'll find. Lured to this blessed place by fateful powers, you fled to this most happy destiny. Now let our thrones be leafy bowers, our joy Arcadian and free.
In isolation from the world, they called upon me to perform my silent duty. I was honored to attend them, but I kept my gaze averted, as befits a trusted servant. Searching here and there, I gathered healing roots and barks and mosses, for I know their secret powers, so that they were left alone. Suddenly, a burst of laughter echoes through the empty spaces. From a woman's lap, an infant leaps into his father's arms. From the father to the mother, such a hugging, such a cuddling, fond caresses, playful teasing, shouts of joy and peals of laughter deafen me with all their noise. Euphorion, they name the child. Naked, like a wingless cherub, faunish, though a human creature, On the floor, he jumps and tumbles from the solid ground, rebounding, bounces upwards ever higher, and again he springs until he soars to touch the vaulted roof. So, among the rocks he skips, rebounding from the dizzy edges of these massive crags, and bounces back and forward like a ball.
Here we stand, for love has bound us, me to you and you to me. Helen, Faust, and son Euphorion, all we ever sought has found us. This was surely meant to be.
Let me go springing, higher and higher, heavenward winging, all I desire, drawing me upward, driving me on.
Take care, Euphorion. Curb your ambition, or you will surely fall to perdition, and we shall lose our beloved son.
Earth shall no longer bind or retain me. Let me go. Do not try to restrain me. Nothing can hold me. I must go on.
For our sake, moderate such wild desire. Curb this intemperate urge to soar higher. Stay, we implore you, here in the plain.
All my love for you bids me remain. Cliffs that rise tall and sheer, thickets that bar my way. Why stay imprisoned here, wasting my youth away? Waves breaking on the shore, and the wind's distant roar. I hear them calling me. There I must be. To the summits I aspire, where the view is wide and clear.
Dread and horror, mind appalling, must you follow fate's decree?
See, I unfold my wings. Trust to the air. I must be with them. Thus, let me fly free!
Icarus, Icarus, what misery!
Bliss must give way to pain.
All joy has flown.
Alas, an ancient saying proves its truth in me, that happiness and beauty form no lasting bond. The ties of life and love alike are severed now. Lamenting both, I bid farewell to you in grief. And one last time I throw myself into your arms. And now, Persephone, receive my son and me.
Hold fast to all that she has left behind. Do not let go the robe. Already demons are tugging at its corners and would like to drag it down to Hades. So hold fast! It is no more the goddess that you lost, but it is still divine. Now, use this rare and priceless gift to bear yourself aloft. If you endure, it will convey you through the ether, high above the commonplace. Far, far from here, we two shall meet again.
Profoundest desolation yawns beneath my feet. With care I tread the margins of this lofty peak and quit the chariot of cloud that carried me gently through sunlit skies and over land and sea. It drifts away from me, but yet does not disperse, and moves a dense and gathered mass towards the east. Amazed and marveling, the eye pursues its course. It parts and billows, shifts in ever-changing shapes, yet seeks a form. Ah, yes. My eyes are not deceived. In sunlit splendor, pillowed on a cloudy bed, reclines a massive yet a godlike woman's shape. Like Juno, Leda, Helen. Yes, I see it now. Majestic, beautiful, it floats before my eyes, but soon disperses. Shapeless, broad, it towers and hangs like distant snow-clad summits in the east, and there reflects the dazzling greatness of ephemeral days. But round me floats a bright and gentle wraith of mist. Its fond caresses cool my brow and cheer my heart. It rises lightly, wavers. Climbing higher still, it takes a shape. Is this a dream from my first youth, of highest bliss I knew and lost so long ago? The deepest treasures of the heart come welling up. This airy image adumbrates the dawn of love. That first glance quickly felt but scarcely understood, a gift beyond all others, had I held it fast. In its ethereal beauty, now that lovely form does not disperse, but rises skyward. As it climbs, it draws with it what I hold dearest in my heart.
What is this ghastly place you've found? These yawning rocks and piles of stone.
I have great things in mind, but you must guess.
Well, that's not hard to do. In some pleasant spot, I'd build myself a splendid palace to show off my wealth. With woods and hills and meadows, I'd create a gorgeous garden out of my estate. I'd build some cozy cottages, designed to house the loveliest women I could find. Secluded there, I'd spend eternity in their most pleasurable company. That's women in the plural, for you see, I find one beauty's not enough for me.
A modern Sardanapalus, what vulgarity. How can you know the things that fire men's hearts and kindle their desire? Your mind, where bitter malice breeds, what can it know of human needs?
Your will be done. Perhaps you'll let me know what mighty project takes your fancy, though.
Towards the open sea, I turned my eyes. I saw the swelling ocean surge and rise, until the towering billows broke to pour in rolling waves along the level shore. And I was vexed, as any mind that's free, that holds all rights and law in due respect, must feel disturbed when furious anarchy unleashes passions that cannot be checked. I thought it was mere chance, but looked again. The tide had turned, the waves rolled back, and then from its proud goal the sea withdrew defeated, and in due time the struggle was repeated.
That's nothing new. I can't believe my ears. I've known that for 100,000 years.
The sterile sea creeps into every bay and spreads sterility along its way. It surges, and the rolling breakers pour across the dismal wasteland of the shore. There, for a time, the waves rule unrestrained. But they recede, and nothing has been gained. That aimless play of elemental might dismays me. It could drive me to despair. My spirit soars beyond itself. To fight and tame that ebb and flow is what I dare. It can be done. The rising tide flows round each hill and elevation of the ground. Though it advances with imperious force, the slightest height will proudly check its course. The slightest depth will drain it instantly. At once my plans were formed. What could give more sweet satisfaction than to tame the sea? To hold the lordly flood back from the shore, to set the ocean's limits far and wide, and turn back on itself the surging tide. So step by step I've planned with thought and care. That is my wish. Now help me if you dare.
How gladly those last ships are steering for harbour with the setting sun. Close by on the canal is nearing a laden ship, its journey done. How cheerfully the boatman raises the coloured pennants on the mast. With joyful heart he sings my praises. Good fortune favours Faust at last. Accursed bell! That sound behind me is like a dagger in my back. Why must its mocking chime remind me not what I have, but what I lack? Out there no boundaries confine my vast estates except the seas. But here, that dingy hut, those trees, that crumbling chapel are not mine. So I can never rest at leisure. The shadow that they cast, I fear, would chill me, rob me of all pleasure. If only I were far from here.
Good fortune smiles upon you now. So why this frown, this furrowed brow? Your wisdom has been crowned, for sea and land are now in harmony. Your vessel set out from the quay and quickly reached the open sea. So from your palace here, the whole wide world is under your control. It all began here, on this land were your first huts. Here, where we stand, you dug the trenches where today your busy ships go on their way. Your vision and our industry gave you command of land and sea.
from here...
A curse on here! It preys upon my mind and sours my days. Since you're so well informed, I will confess I cannot bear the pain that stabs me to the heart. But still I blush to have to speak it plain. That aged couple must give way. Those lindens shall be mine alone. Those few trees taunt me day by day, pollute my joy in all I own. There I shall build among the boughs an airy platform that allows my eager gaze to wander free, and from that viewpoint I shall see with one glance all that I have done. A triumph of the human mind that with resource and skill has won new habitations for mankind. The richest man will always grieve for what his wealth cannot achieve. That clanging bell, those trees in bloom, are like the shadow of the tomb. That sandy hillock can confound the freedom of my sovereign will. How can I halt that mocking sound? I rage, and yet I hear it still. Their willful stubbornness can blight all joy in my supreme success, that in my anguish, my distress, I tire of doing what is right.
I don't know why you're agonizing. You're long since used to colonizing.
Then get them both out of my sight. You know the little cottage where I meant to house the aged pair?
We'll move them out. Soon they'll be resettled, very happily. And even if we must persuade them, their lovely home will compensate them. You heard his orders. When it's done, there'll be a feast for everyone.
To watch is the duty entrusted to me, and my joy is the beauty of all that I see. I see what is far, and I see what is near, the moon and a star, the woods and the deer. I see everywhere the eternal design, and rejoice that a share of its beauty is mine.
Not for joy alone was I set to watch up here so high. What appalling horrors loom out of the surrounding gloom. In the darkness, there a fire burns among the linden trees. Sparks and flames are leaping higher, fanned to fury by the breeze. And the little hut that stood damp and moss-grown in the wood is in flames. Will no one heed the call for those in direst need? If not, that old and kindly pair who used to tend their hearth with care must soon be overwhelmed and choke in that infernal pall of smoke. Now the mossy timber frame is all ablaze. If only they could save themselves! There is no way to flee that hell of raging flame. Swirling tongues are leaping higher, leaves and twigs are all on fire, burning branches break and go crashing to the ground below. Why was I gifted with such sight to see these horrors in the night? Alas, the little chapel now crushed beneath a falling bough is on fire. Throughout the wood, flickering tongues of flame have spread. Where the linden trees once stood, hollow trunks glow fiery red. That vision that delighted me forevermore has ceased to be.
What whimpering song comes to my ears? Too late now for regret or tears. My watchman wails. It vexes me that it was done so hastily. The lindens are destroyed, each tree a charred and blackened stump. But here I'll build a lofty belvedere to gaze into infinity. From there the dwelling I shall see, where that old pair can end their days in quiet happiness, and praise their fortune and my charity.
Ah, we came as quickly as we could. The news, we fear, is not too good. We knocked and rattled, all in vain. No one replied. We tried again. We pounded louder than before, and then we battered in the door. We shouted, threatened them, but still they didn't answer us at all. It's often like that when we call. They just don't listen. Never will. We didn't want to hang about. Our orders were to get them out. The old ones didn't suffer a lot. They died of fright, right on the spot. Some coals got scattered from the fire and set a pile of straw alight.
which turned into their funeral pyre.
Were you quite deaf to what I said? I wanted them removed, not dead. A curse upon you all and on your wild and mindless tricks. Begone! The stars have gone. The darkness grows. The flames have died. The fire glows. A drifting pall of smoke is fanned upon the breeze to where I stand. Rash words too soon obeyed, I fear. What ghostly shadows hover near?
My name is Want, and mine is Debt.
My name is Need,
and mine is Care.
The door is locked fast.
We cannot get in.
A rich man lives here.
We've no hold over him.
My sisters, you three cannot enter, but Care can slip through the keyhole, so let him beware.
But look yonder.
Who comes from afar?
It is Death. He is coming.
Our brother draws near.
I saw four figures come, but only three have gone. Their words made little sense to me. I thought they spoke of need, of want, and debt. And then I heard a dismal echo. Death. It was a hollow sound, a ghostly breath. I have not fought my way to freedom yet. If I could banish magic and disown the spells and incantations binding me, stand face to face with nature all alone, my life would be worthwhile. I would be free. I was a free man once, before I first sought out the dark, forbidden ways and cursed myself and all the world. But now the air is full of ghosts. I hear them everywhere. Though day dispels unreason with its light, those phantoms come to haunt us in the night. We may return from meadows in full bloom, but then we hear the raven croak of doom. For superstitions constantly surround us. We see their signs and omens all around us. We stand alone in trembling and in fear. A door will creak, but no one will appear. Is someone there?
Yes, I am here.
Who are you?
It is I, as you can see.
Begone!
I am where I am meant to be.
Take heed, and speak no word of sorcery.
Do you not know me? I am Care.
I have rushed through the world, and everywhere I went I seized each pleasure by the hair. What did not satisfy me, I would let it go without the least regret. What I desired, I have achieved, and then I thirsted for desire again. At first a wild and stormy life I led. More wisely now, more cautiously I tread. This world I know quite well enough. What lies beyond, our eyes will never penetrate. And only fools endeavour to create some likeness of themselves above the skies. This world has much to give an able man who will stand firm, achieving what he can. He need not search eternity to find what lies within the compass of his mind. So let him journey on through joy and pain. When phantoms haunt him, let him go his way. Press on regardless, but let him remain dissatisfied each moment of the day.
Any man whom I possess finds the whole world profitless, dwelling in perpetual night where the sun can shed no light. Though his senses may be whole, darkness will enshroud his soul. All the treasures he has known, he can never call his own. All his feelings turn to whim, and no food can nourish him. Joy or sadness, bliss or sorrow, never can be his today. Ever mindful of tomorrow, he must fret his life away.
Enough! I will not listen to this kind of nonsense. It has no effect on me. Begone! Your dismal litany could drive the wisest man out of his mind. Unholy spectres! Time and time again you come to plague and harry immortal men. on the most humdrum day you can ensnare them in a fearful tangle of despair. Demons, I know, are with us everywhere. That stubborn spirit bond we cannot sever, or rid ourselves of them. But I will never recognize the creeping power of care.
But you shall feel it yet before I go, for I leave you my curse behind. Most men are blind throughout their lives, and so you, Faust, shall at the last be blind.
Now, darker, ever darker seems the night. Yet deep within me shines a burning light. I hasten to fulfill my master plan. At my command alone it can be done. Now rouse yourselves, my workers, everyone, to finish the brave scheme that I began. The ground is marked, the measurements are made, so set to work at once with pick and spade. We can achieve the very highest prize through discipline and toil. To realize my great work for the sake of humankind, 1,000 hands need but a single mind. What joy to hear the clang of spades. My band of workmen toil to reconcile the land with its own borders, to confine the sea within a stern, unyielding boundary, and set a limit to the surging tide. Overseer.
Yeah?
By any means you can, recruit more workers. Summon every man. Encourage them with threat or promise, use persuasion, force, or bribe them with more pay. Whatever will work best, and bring me news of how my dike progresses every day.
That isn't what I heard. It was more like a grave that they were digging, not a dike. Your labours are in vain. These slaves who build your dikes and groins are on our side. The water devil, Neptune, rules the waves, and you are lost. Your futile schemes prepare a royal feast for him. Here, everywhere, the elements conspire with us to send your efforts to oblivion in the end.
A swamp extends along the mountainside and spreads disease across the land I've gained. But if that filthy marshland could be drained, in that last deed, I'd take the greatest pride. For millions, then, new land I could provide to live, not safe, perhaps, but free to toil, both man and beast contented side by side in green and fertile fields on virgin soil. Within the shelter of the banks erected by tireless labour, they shall live protected. And though the sea may rage at will outside, a paradise shall flourish here. The tide may gnaw and batter at the dikes, but each and every one will rush to close the breach. This is the vision that inspires me. This is my wisdom's final word, that they who must defend their freedom every day deserve to live lives that are truly free. So here, beset by danger, each shall spend a life of honest effort to the end. A happy throng. If only I could see upon free land, a people truly free. Then, to the passing moment, I might say, you are so beautiful. I bid you stay. The traces of my life can never be effaced from human memory. As I anticipate my vision, this is now the moment of my highest bliss.
This man, no joy or pleasure satisfied. He snatched at every changing shape and tried to seize the fleeting moment as it passed. But that sad, empty moment was his last. That old man struggled to resist my power. He lies here in the sand, and time has won. There lies the body. Should the spirit flee, I'll soon show it the deed it signed for me in blood. They have so many ways today to cheat the devil of his rightful prey. They take offense at the old-fashioned ways. The new ones haven't been accepted yet. I used to do it on my own. These days, I take on all the helpers I can get. Hell bears its fangs. Vast streams of fire flow in fury from the yawning vault below. Come on now, double quick, you motley crew. Old-fashioned devils of the proper kind, with crooked horns, or straight ones, I don't mind. Pot-bellied devils, with your sweaty faces still burning from the brimstone fires below. You bull-necked blockheads, down here, take your places. And if you see a phosphorescent glow, that is the soul. Winged Psyche, as it's called. If you tear off its wings, it's just a bald and horrid grub. I'll stamp my mark on it, then fling it down into the blazing pit. Unwelcome cloud of light, a jingling, a horrid dissonance grates on my ear. Those winsome, girlish choirboy voices mingling are what the prim and pious love to hear. These are devils too, but devils in disguise. To lose to them would shame us all forever. Stand by the grave and hold your ranks together. Devils flinch and wince. Is that all hell can do? Just let them throw their roses. Stand your ground. Stay at your post, you ninnies. All of you. They think that simply scattering flowers around will douse your brimstone like a fall of snow. One puff from you will shrivel them. So blow, you windbags. Blow! Don't overdo it. Your torrid breath has scorched their swarm of roses. We'll all be lost if you set fire to it. Hold fast! Close up your ranks. Resist them to the last. We devils weaken. Their morale is low. They seem to sense a strange, alluring glow. A good hot bath is what you all deserve. But I shall stand my ground and hold my nerve. Heads on fire, my heart and liver burn. This element hurts more infernally than hell's own fires that burn eternally. So, that's why unrequited lovers sigh so mournfully, and why they twist and turn their necks to see their mistress passing by. Me too. What turns my head in that direction? They are the enemy. We are at war. I couldn't stand the sight of them before. Have I succumbed to some unknown infection? They are such lovely lads. It's quite alarming. I ought to curse them, but they're just too charming. If I let these erotic stirrings rule my head, I shall forever feel a fool. Confound the boys! I should abominate them. They're just too beautiful. How can I hate them? I feel a warm and comfortable glow, as if I'd seen you all before. You're so desirable and cuddly as a kitten. The more I look at you, the more I'm smitten. Come closer. Give me just one tender glance. You call us fiends. Damned spirits come from hell. But you're the real sorcerers. No man or woman safe from your seductive spell. To hell with this accursed game. Can this be love? My body's all aflame. You'd all look well with fewer clothes, I'm sure. Those flowing robes are simply too demure. And now they're turning round. Oh, but I find the rascal so delicious from behind. What's this? I'm full of boils like Job. My hide is a repulsive sight. But deep inside, I've triumphed over love. That pox I caught has come out on my skin. I always thought I could stand firm. It's in my pedigree. The devil's noble parts are good as new. Those loathsome flames are out. I'm free to curse you all, the whole celestial crew. Disappeared. The whole damn throng. Cheeky rascals caught me by surprise, and now they're off to heaven with their prize. That's why they sniffed about the grave so long. I've lost the greatest treasure there could be. That lofty soul that pledged itself to me, they've snatched away before my very eyes. Who can I turn to? Who will hear my plea? Who will restore my rightful property? You've been deceived. You're in a sorry plight. And at your age as well, serves you right.
Faust's noble spirit is released from evil and damnation. For those whose striving never ceased, we can lead to salvation.
And if from highest heaven love and mercy should reprieve him, then all the blessed host above will joyfully receive him.
On high the view is clear, spirit uplifting. Women are passing near, heavenward drifting. Among them can be seen, glorious in flight, star-crowned our heavenly queen, radiant with light. Small clouds surround her, women beneath her cluster around her, breathing the ether, penitents kneeling, beg for the healing balm of her grace.
Matchless in grace, Our Lady, incline your radiant face upon this happiness of mine. My lover, see, transfigured, he returns to me. The blessed hosts of heaven surround him. His spirit still seems scarce aware of this new life that dawns around him. But soon with them he will compare. He has cast off the husk that shrouded him. The bonds of earth are torn. Clad in ethereal robes, unclouded, to youthful vigor now reborn. To new spheres grant that Gretchen may guide him, still dazzled by celestial day.
Rise higher then, with you beside him, he will not fail to find the way.
All contrite hearts, behold the face that is your true salvation, and thankfully implore the grace of blessed transfiguration.
May all nobler spirits ride to serve you faith-confessing, Virgin, Mother, Queen on high, Goddess, grant your blessing.